in a document some of those actions that were taken. And then we'll consider that, and then where are we going as a committee, as a state, on education policy issues? What are those opportunities before us? We'll discuss that and then talk about what we as a committee can do in addressing some of these major challenges. We're going to form some subcommittees, and just putting the final touches on a document now that will show various subcommittees that will be used. And then we'll talk about committee meetings for the balance of the year, getting prepared for the 2008 legislative session, and also mention that we'll continue to do some school district visits, which have been very productive. So that's the big picture for today, and we'll start with the overview on the Omnibus Education Finance and Policy Bill, and thank you for all your efforts, staff, in putting this together. Mr. Nauman and Ms. McQuay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Eric Nauman with the Senate Office of Council Fiscal, Office of Council Research and Fiscal Analysis. And dovetailing off the fiscal part, we're going to start off the legal size document that's portrait-oriented. It says target summary. We thought it might be of some use to do a brief recap of where the governor's Senate House budget positions were, and then what the final position looked like, including an adjustment for the line item vetoes that were enacted after the legislature completed its work and the bill was finally signed into law. So what you have at the beginning is for fiscal years 2008 and 2009, the governor's original budget recommendation, and these numbers are expressed over the February forecast base. And I know this is the policy committee, so bear with me, I'll try to make these numbers quick and painless. The permanent money in the governor's recommendation for 08-09 was $570 million, and one-time money of $189.3 million, for a total budget recommendation above the base of $759.9 million. The tail was $879.3. The Senate's budget was the next step, and please bear with me, there's a lot of numbers here, primarily because the Senate took a number of different approaches to putting its K-12 package together. Our target was $498 million, and you'll see that as the adjusted spending. The Senate bill, Senate File 2095, actually spent $575.9 million in the 08-09 biennium. $78 million of that was property tax reductions, but it was carried in the tax bill target, so you see that adjustment as the education improvement account. Remember, it sat on the funding division, we'll remember that conversation. Then the permanent money broke out as $492 million and about $5.2 million roughly as one time. Then the second step in the Senate package was Senate File 1611. This is where the Senate came on the backside after, members will recall, there was no formula in the original bill, and then there was a 2% and 2% formula increase carried in Senate File 1611. And a variety of other things, including the early childhood allowances and a few other smaller items. The permanent spending in that bill was $351.6 million with a tail of $620. So if you add those total together, those two bills, and I'm going to just set aside Senate File 1024 for the moment, $849.7 million in new spending for 08-09 and $1.1 billion in the tail. House budget was $944.5 million, $888 million of that was permanent money, about $56 million was one time. Then in the final package that was put together, that's Chapter 146, we spent $658.1 million in permanent money. The one time was $136.9. The pre-veto numbers include a little bit of education spending that was carried in the tax bill, primarily taconite offsets. And when the tax bill got vetoed, that money went away, as well as a variety of one-time spending that was included in the K-12 bill. And we can talk about some of those one-time vetoes at those if you want to crawl into that detail. In total, the original target of about $800 million in total spending was reduced down to 788 after you adjust for the veto. And if you would like to make some subtractions comparing the final package relative to the Senate, relative to the governor, relative to the House, those numbers appear in the bottom box. So there's sort of a large picture of where we were and where we are today. So you can see the total package is now at 788 and a tail of $829.8 million. So, Mr. Chairman, that's the, sort of the broad numbers. The next document, now oriented landscape, is a snapshot of the traditional E12 spreadsheet that we've rolled up several of the lines to get some larger numbers and avoid having to look at all the line items. But we did want to highlight some of the important initiatives. Across the top, you see Chapter 146. So now we're only looking at the E12 bill for fiscal years 8 and 9, and then a whole series of comparisons to the base, the Senate, the House, and the governor, and then fiscal year 10 and 11 with the same comparisons. Members will note line 9, is the formula allowance increase. We had 2% and 1% in the final bill. That spent $243.5 million, and just I'll work through all the comparisons on this first line. $243.5 million above the February forecast base, that's $49.1 million below the Senate package of 2 and 2. It's $197.9 million below the House package of 3% and 3%. And the governor had also 2% and 2%, so it's $48.2 million below that number. Now, the astute eye, Senator Hamm, will quickly say, why is the Senate number and the governor's number different? They're both 2 and 2, and that has to do with the order in which some of the calculations were made and some of the minutiae of the model, but the initiatives were exactly the same. Then you can see, as we move forward into the tail, some of the comparisons above. Oh, I should quickly add, the formula allowance is on line 2, 5074 and 5124, and those do represent the 2% and 1%. So then scrolling down, education excellence accounts, and again, we've rolled up a whole series of policy decisions that the conference committee made. Those accounts are up $33.5 million. The special education initiative that originated in the Senate was not retained in its entirety, but a good portion of it, that's up $329.4 million. So a good piece of the spending that was actually done is carried in the special education area. Facilities up about 99.8. There's some additional money in nutrition's, about 3 million. Libraries received a fairly healthy increase this year, first time in my memory that libraries are up this much, about $8 million. Early childhood accounts are up 15.6, but some of the high-profile issues that were discussed out of the Senate, including the governor's scholarship program and the pre-K allowances, were not funded in this bill. Members will probably note that some of that was funded as a pilot program in the Health and Human Services bill to the tune of about $6 million. And then I think if you flip over to the next page, you can see the grand total, $788.5 million on line 39. This was a format that we had put together in some of the conference committee conversations to delineate between spending and property taxes and other E12 initiatives. And members will note that on line 41, the property tax initiatives that were carried in both the House, Senate, and the governor were not funded in the final package in favor of spending more on both special ed and the formula allowances. So you see that the big number is all in other spending and none of them in property taxes. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it to Ms. McCray at this point to discuss some of the policy and the summary of the overall bill.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, okay. Members, Shelby McQuay with the Office of Council Research and Fiscal Analysis. I'm looking at the sheet. It's a one-page summary titled E12 Omnibus Education Finance. And I do please excuse the small print. It was difficult to fit an entire act on one page. But I'll just quickly go over and try and elaborate on some of the provisions that Mr. Nauman discussed. Summary is broken up into articles, and we'll just go through a few. On Article 1, most of the funding was put towards increasing the kindergarten pupil weight from 0.557 to 0.612. The increase in the basic formula allowance is 3% over the biennium. There was an increase to gifted and talented, and there was a $23 offset for school districts that have a per pupil referendum amount in excess of the 95th percentile was eliminated. There was also an increase in the Safe Schools Levy Authority, and there was an additional increase for districts that were part of intermediates that allowed those districts to levy and then spend that money towards the intermediate districts. Article 2.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
I wanted to express appreciation for that inclusion. I was invited to attend a couple of graduations at the 287 alternative programs, and one of them, I didn't, you know, realize where I was going, but one of them was the center where they're dealing with these very, very difficult cases. And the superintendent was there and expressed her appreciation and told of one incident that they had had. Each of the separate areas that they work with and they have locked areas, they have to have security to manage it. And it was the graduation ceremony was very interesting, and there were some, you know, very positive things coming about it. But she also told me that they had had just that week one student attempt to kill another student and was being held with attempted and charged with attempted murder. They were able to. It took two people to wrestle down, and so they are dealing with some very extreme cases. And I don't think we had really gotten that message before, and it did come through this time. And that's what that money is going for. And I think it's a very worthwhile investment of it.
Well, a compelling case had to be made to put anything additional on levy, and this clearly had a strong case presented.
Mr. Chair, Article 2 is Education Excellence. There was money appropriated for the Minnesota Reading Corps and for a training for a literacy model for AmeriCorps members to work with Head Start and other elementary programs. A portion of these funds can be leveraged for private and federal funds. There was also established an early literacy program for children, Head Start children. There was a grant appropriated to the St. Croix River Education District. The RTI is designed to assess young students and help districts use scientifically based instruction and reading intervention programs. The commissioner also was directed when reviewing standards to include the contributions of Minnesota American Indian tribes as they relate to each of the standards, and the act also allows career and technical education courses to fulfill science, math, or arts credits. A world languages program was established, and as part of the program, participants in the pilot must simultaneously support both non-English language learners in maintaining their native language while mastering English, and native English speakers in learning other languages. The act also clarified eligibility, funding, and programmatic functions for advanced placement, pre-advanced placement, and IB courses. The act allocates $150 per pupil, and the act also requires schools to have a 3-year school board-approved plan to establish or expand their existing programs in any of those.
Mr. Chairman, the things that you've just gone over aren't on this summary page, are they?
I have two sheets that I'm working off of. Sorry if I'm getting a little off. The one-page sheet doesn't go completely.
Yeah, but what you were saying,
through. I'm trying to elaborate on, and I'll try and follow a little bit more closely with the sheet that's in front of you. Statewide testing. The Act makes changes to clarify the change from the BSD to the grad test and the change over to the NCA2s. And it also extends the time by which the value-added program will be put on, will be rolled in as a component to the program. I think it extends it to 2 years. The Act also modifies criteria included in the school performance report card. This includes student-to-teacher ratios and school safety among the criteria the commissioner must use to determine school performance levels. And the Act also directs math and science teachers to provide professional development and uses instructional models based on best practices. The Act also, in Article 2, directs the Office of Educational Accountability to provide an annual report to the legislature, among other concerns, how effectively the commissioner must make statistical adjustments when reporting student data, and then uses indicators of student achievement over time and makes data available, and how effectively the commissioner makes data available on how students, on those students that don't pass the grad test. As part of the governor's signing the Act, he vetoed the appropriation to the Office of Educational Accountability. Also in Article 2, the veto letter also included the line item veto of the National Board of Teaching grant. I guess this was in Article 1, but the School Finance Reform Task Force was also line item vetoed by the governor.
Ms. McCoy.
Chair Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. McCoy, wasn't it just the appropriation for the consultants line item vetoed, not the task force itself?
Mr.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonner, yes, you're correct. The structure and the language of the task force remains intact, and if the legislature's, the governor noted that he felt in his veto message that it was somewhat redundant to appropriate additional money for that when the legislature had its own appropriation, and the legislature in the language was in a sense mandating itself to do some work as part of the task force. So what was deleted was the actual appropriation, but the language creating this task force that the legislature so chose to proceed with that, it could do so, but it would need to allocate any funds from its own internal budget to make that happen.
Members, we do have a summary of task force updates, the special ed requirements that's going to be looked at, the American Indian tribes and communities and K-12 standards based reform, as well as the school finance reform task force. We have a summary of that, and it's in the pile. It's labeled task force update, and it's my understanding that people are submitting their names if they want to serve on that finance reform task force, and hopefully something will be announced within the next few weeks.
Mr. Chairman, I had meant to mention the line item vetoes. Ms. McCoy has dealt with that. There was about $5.4 million of spending that was line item out of the bill. $75,000 was the Education Finance Task Force. $400,000 was the Office of Educational Accountability. We mentioned previously the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. That was a $500,000 biannual appropriation. The larger deletion was the Hennepin County, a one-time expenditure for the Hennepin County Minneapolis Library at $4.5 million. So those add up to $5.475 million.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, most of the money that was spent in Article 3 of the special education program dealt with reducing the cap gap. There was also a little bit of money spent to go from a base year calculation to a current year calculation. Some of the calculations for the calculating special education are dealt with on a two-year previous basis, and that was brought up to current year. Article 4 would be facilities and technology. Some of the main points in this article was to extend the authority for Minneapolis and St. Paul 8 years, their bonding authority to annually sell and issue bonds. There was also appropriated one-time school technology and offering capital aid, and that was $40 per pupil in fiscal year 2008 and $55 per pupil in fiscal year 2009. In the areas of nutrition and accounting, there were several reserve accounts that were eliminated from school district budgets that are no longer required by statute. And there was also an increase in the reimbursement for school lunches from 10.5 to 12 cents per school lunch. There was significant increases to libraries, both in basic system support, multi-county, multi-type library systems, and regional library telecommunications aid. And as Mr. Nauman mentioned, there was $4.5 million line item vetoed in this area to deal with the merger between Hennepin County and Minneapolis.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Alcine.
Would that money be ongoing, though, if it was just vetoed for Minneapolis and Hennepin County merger? Would that $4.5 million still be accessible to the statewide library system?
Ms. Quick.
Mr. Chair and Senator Alcine, I'll try this, and luckily Mr. Nauman's here to correct me if I'm wrong, but because it was line item vetoed, it will go back into the general fund, and it won't go for general library use.
I am disappointed to hear that, because my understanding was that once that merger had taken place, that $4.5 million would continue to be used by the state library. So,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Alcine, perhaps another permutation might be helpful. This was a separate appropriation for specifically the Minneapolis Hennepin County Library merger, and that's what was deleted. There was no deletion off of the increased appropriation for overall library support, and that money is unaffected. The governor did not make any changes to that. But to the extent that the Minneapolis Library Minneapolis and Hennepin benefit from that overall increase to basic library support in the multi-county, multi-type, that would not be affected. So maybe that's where the confusion is.
Because it was my understanding that the first year would be for that merger, and then ongoing that 4.5 would be for the library system. So I appreciate you clarifying that.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, you may be thinking of the sales tax that Hennepin County is paying, that at some point a portion of that is going to go to libraries. And I don't think that we ever heard any legislation about an appropriation for Hennepin County in our education finance. To my knowledge, it wasn't in either the House or Senate bill. And obviously the conference committee didn't really do anything with that bill other than accept agreed things that were alike in both bills. So whatever was going on, wherever it was going on, is when that $4.5 million for Hennepin County appeared, and I have no idea if there was any clarification as to what it was to go for, which was probably a reason why the governor may have had some questions about it.
Mr. Chairman, no. Senator Olson, it actually did originate as part of the House bill. That $4.5 million was brought in as part of the House package.
It was.
Yes, we didn't have as much conversation in a conference committee process
right.
as we would have liked, but it did originate as part of the House package, as did that sales tax transfer that you're making reference to. Both of those came from the House package.
Is the sales tax transfer still a part of the...
That was part of the final bill. That was part of the final bill. And my understanding of that statute as well, we didn't have much conversation about it, is that if the revenue generated off the increased sales tax for the Twin Stadium is in excess of the amount that's needed, then those dollars will be made available to the Hennepin County Library System. The overage.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, one other point of clarification, that the veto that was line item for the merger was $4.5 million in 2008 only. It was a one-time appropriation. Under the state agencies article, the requirement was removed for school districts to submit to the department annual cross subsidy reports, and instead the department is going to take this over. They have been doing it, and they're just going to do the cross subsidy report for the state. In Article 8, which is the People Transportation Standards, there was changes made. This was came in through the House bill. The Senate dealt with these provisions, mainly in the transportation. It was finally decided to bring this in from the House bill. But there was changes mainly to conform with national standards. And then in Article 9, the early childhood programs, there was increases for Head Start, and there was a requirement for ECSE to submit a biennial plan to the department before being able to be certified for their levy. And there was also increases to adult basic education. Articles 10 and 11 were technical and conforming in the forecast.
Thank you. Questions? Staff? Okay, well, we'll keep you, Senator Rummel.
This is not a question so much as a comment. Having gone through this process for the first time in my life, I just think it's worth mentioning the tremendous amount of work our staff do to keep us on track during especially those last few weeks, and just the ability to keep track of all these details and to keep us informed. You just do such outstanding work, and it's worth noting.
On behalf of the committee, we express that. Thank you very much. A lot was done, but there's challenges ahead. We also, in the handouts, have information on bills that the committee processed, as well as some of the bills that remain to be heard. There are various Department of Education reports that are being developed, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but you'll see that a number of items are referenced on ongoing reports, and sometimes we hear those, sometimes they're just filed for information. At this point, I'd just like to open it up for any reactions as to the 2007 session. Many of us do serve on finance as well, and we're aware that more needs to be done and that there is a task force that's going to continue its work in the next 3 to 4 weeks, hopefully. But let's focus a bit on policy and reactions that you'd like to share and help set the stage for interim activity. Senator Saltzman.
To Senator Rummel's point, Mr. Chair, that, I think for some of us who came in here and we were in office less than a few days and we're starting to introduce legislation, that we see this interim as a wonderful opportunity to now really talk about policy and to be able to reach out to many of the stakeholder groups and talk about some of the initiatives that are going to take time. And I think that for some of the policy that we did work on this past session, we really tried to condense that work into a few short months, and that was a challenge. So I look forward to this opportunity to really have input from people and have a thoughtful process. I think that's why this second year tends to have more of a policy focus, because it allows us to look at what we've accomplished but what yet needs to be done, and to have that work so that there's some legislation that's been very thoughtfully developed prior to our next session, which starts, I believe, February 12th.
Thank you. Additional comments? Senator Rummel and Senator Bonham.
Mr. Chair, committee, one of the things that was a surprise to me was a result of our site visits. I don't know if you're going to go over the site visit thing. We did visit fourteen sites, and I was kind of struck by the disparities or the differences across the state of what our schools have and are able to provide. And I realize it's a finance issue, but it's also a policy issue, and how we address those disparities is something that I hope we will be looking at one way or another.
Thank you, Senator Rummel. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important to note as we look forward that the process that we did use in coming up with the final bill was flawed, in that
We didn't allow the conference committee to do its work in terms of hashing out the particulars in the final bill, and also not just the conferees but the public, because I think such an important part of the conference committee process is the fact that those stakeholders have a chance to listen and then and get their comments to those who are making those end choices. So while I think that we did a tremendous amount of work all session, and that our staff did a tremendous amount of work both at the end and during the session, I know we haven't said anything yet about our committee administrators and how hard they work too, as well as the fiscal analysts. I think to have the conference committee process not fully used was a disservice to how hard we all worked and to the public. Having said that, now it's time to go forward. So you let that go and move on. And I look forward to doing this work. And I think that in the future, we won't allow that to happen, that we'll learn from that. With regard to what's before us in terms of our work, we began the session saying we wanted to emphasize early childhood education, and we said we wanted to reform our funding formula. That didn't happen in this session, and so I do look for the interim as well as the next policy year to tackle those two very important things, and I think they're critical in moving our state in the direction we need to go.
Senator Hinn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to have some interim meetings here and begin some work on policy. I guess two things I would offer, and I know we have a task force that is looking at special education requirements, and I think that's a good thing. I know we, in our finance bill, we put a lot of dollars and we spend a lot of time talking about trying to address the disparities or the shortfalls in special education funding that have occurred over the past number of years. However, I think it would be good for us to try to understand more clearly what things that are driving the costs in special education. We talk about it and we kind of use that term, and it, as you know, a huge variation of, abilities falls into the special education category. And it might be good to look at where those dollars are being spent. Are we spending them in autism-related things? Are we spending them in areas that where people have difficulty reading, for example? And try to get a better handle on where those monies are going and what are the problems that are trying to be addressed, with a view of perhaps looking at our funding structure to say, is it really directed to help us make some improvement in how that process takes place. So that would be one thing I hope, and I hope we can work off of what the task force comes up with. And I guess the second question I would just raise is a more general policy area that I think affects a lot of the things that we've seen in the last year, and I think we'll continue to see, has to do with the question of governance, of school governance, and what is that relationship. And I think there is a funding component to this. As we've gone over the years and moved more of the burden to finance education to the state level, I think it raises some questions about how much responsibility do boards have locally? How much should they have? Can you separate the financing of education from the policy making? Do we wish to do that? Do we want equality, or do we want, for want of a better term, some freedom to make decisions that are maybe in line with local concerns? And I think that as a general policy area is one that we wrestle with in a number of different bills, and it might be good for us to look at that in a more general way and say, what direction are we taking as a state? Are we going to go down this path, or are we going to go down this path? And then as we go forward looking at individual bills, we can see how well they measure up to that direction. So I just would throw out a couple of thoughts that have been rolling around. Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Hannah. Further reflection, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment as we move forward. You've indicated that we'll be putting together some subcommittees to do some work during the interim, and I really encourage members of the committee as we are putting together those subcommittees that we really remember and focus on the commitment that the state has long time made for public education, and that as the Senate Education Policy Committee, we are in a very critical piece of that puzzle. And so as legislation is offered and put forward through this committee, that we should be taking a very careful and thoughtful look at that, because we have the ability to set the direction for where we want to go with education in this state. And I think if we can reflect on that as we're putting together our subcommittees, I think that that will serve the body and the state well.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think both Senator Hand's comments and Senator Lynch's comments are kind of overarching, and not necessarily, there may be pieces of them that will be a part of discussion of various subcommittees, but I think they're significant enough to be a part of the whole committee's deliberations. And so I hope you will make note of that, that when we have as to what kinds of issues that we could actually have some resources on, or even just discussion with key stakeholders or whatever that relate to those policy areas, because I think they are very significant. So.
Thank you.
But sometimes if just a few, they have the benefit of the richness of that discussion. It doesn't benefit the whole committee. And I think things of that major significance need to have that attention.
One great thing about this committee is the talent, and many of you are new, not in policymaking or to being involved in the communities, but new as Senate Education Committee members. You bring in a fresh perspective, enthusiasm, and you have expressed a great deal of interest in moving the policy discussion along and getting ready for 08 now. And that's the reason that we're going to form some subcommittees that look in further detail on a number of the issues we just touched on. And if it wasn't mentioned a particular item that in a subcommittee, that doesn't mean the full committee wouldn't address it. And just want you to know, we aren't precluded from items, but we want to provide a focus in forming some subcommittees, and I have a handout that highlights six subcommittees and shows the co-chairs, bipartisan co-chairs, and at least four of the subcommittees. And I believe members of the audience, we have it out there, and so you're having a chance to review that as well. I didn't ask any of the members to prepare speeches or anything about their subcommittees, but perhaps if they just wanted to say a couple of sentences or a few things about why they're interested in this, and perhaps to give a signal to people here as well as to the general public as to some of the challenges ahead that we plan on addressing and getting input on. Then we'll talk about the calendar, when the full committee will be meeting as we prepare for the 2008 session. We can go in any particular order here, or if someone would like to comment first, if they want. Senator Olson.
Well, student transportation, I appreciate being put on this subcommittee. I have a lot of interest in student transportation and the safety of our students as they're being transported. There's been some really headline incidences in the last 6 months that are really drawing a focus on, how do we get kids to school and home safely? So I think that it's very appropriate that we look at this now. I know one of the things I want to work on is getting kids out of minivans and those kinds of vehicles towards these multifunction type buses, a more sturdier vehicle than what some kids are being transported in today. So I think that's one of the areas I want to look at. And also licensure on some of these other vehicles, whether or not we should be looking at some kind of an endorsement, maybe not the same as for a full-size bus, but maybe not a D license as currently acceptable in some cases.
And Senator Hand, you shared with us a lot of things during the session on a personal note, and you were a bus driver early in your career. And
very early in my career, yes. So I was, and certainly on our school board in Eden Prairie, transportation issues, as former school board members know, are often very contentious, and they have a very large impact on the community. And the first 2-3 years in the Senate, I did bring a bill or a version of an idea that we looked at in Eden Prairie that had to do with looking at how we can pay for the cost of transportation in a way that might give some flexibility to school districts. And I think that in addition to the things that Senator Olsen mentioned, and I'm happy to be a part of that subcommittee and work with Senator Olsen, but I think one of the things we could look at is what are the things that can be done to provide some flexibility and some way to manage those costs at the local level that makes sense for the local school districts. And I think that might be another area we could look at.
Yeah, and I know that other members have expressed an interest, and we'll probably have 5 or so members serving on each group. You know, Senator Bonoff, you shared some specific suggestions, ideas that you're going to have the subcommittee look at. And, of course, this committee had a hearing on Senator Dibble's proposal on school transportation, which we laid over but agreed to hear it, so that's where that'll be heard as well. Thank you for your leadership and putting together proposals here. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I am very interested in that subject and have already been working on it, so I have expressed to Senator Olsen that I'd like to join that subcommittee. And I'm very honored to serve as a co-chair of the Early Childhood Subcommittee with Senator Michelle. Senator Michelle and I have been working together on the 2020 caucus and in the Early Childhood Caucus, and with many of the people at this table. I think we all know that when we look long-term at our goals for having all of our students leave our E-12 system ready for college, we know that the most important ingredient is what happens to them early on. And that is a task that we have taken on as a state, and there's much to be done. And so I look forward to working with North Slawick on this, as well as Senator Clark, who's been working on this, and many others as we put together the best practices in this area.
And, Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, I will be serving with Senator Rummel on the Expectations and Accountability Subcommittee. I don't know of any school district that doesn't want to be accountable. I don't know of any members of the public that don't want their public schools to be accountable. One of the things that interests me most about this particular subcommittee is I think it's really important that we budget our plan, and I look for this. I think some of the work that and some of the discussion that will take place in that subcommittee will be about where is it that we want to go, and how are we going to measure that we're getting there or that we're there. And I also see that there's a tremendous opportunity to expand, develop the dialogue between the K-12 system and the post-secondary system. And I think that is a critical need in this state.
Thank you. Senator Rummel.
To expand on what my colleague said, those of us who have worn the school board hat have heard the word accountability for so long, and some people say it has no meaning because it has so many meanings. And as Senator Lynch said, yes, we want to be accountable, and it is accountable for what? And not only between the K-12 system, you know, as school board members, you hear from parents. Parents have expectations for what will happen for their children. Community members have expectations. Our business community, our employers have expectations. And right now, accountability seems to dissolve into simply testing, and certainly testing is one component. But I do think we need to direct some attention to the other components that help us address those things that will help our students move from our schools into the rest of their lives and do it very well.
Thank you, Senator Rummel. And I'll add as well, Representative Mariani, as well as Representative Grayling, House leadership members in education, they have expressed a strong interest in working together, particularly Senator Rummel and her subcommittee. And I'm sure that will be the case on other subcommittees. So we will encourage each of the subcommittees to have joint meetings with counterparts, which you can appreciate. And we find it ultimately more effective when we can, in a bipartisan way, work with the other body as well. And so that's in the planning stage right now to work with the House of Representatives on one or more of these subcommittees. Senator Saltzman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm delighted to serve with Senator Olson on the early intervention and literacy because Senator Olson was really my mentor this last session. And a bipartisan effort to work on early intervention and on the legislation that was implemented last year regarding earlier intervention, our reading corps, our reading center. So we need to monitor what's happening with that, but also to look at beyond that. And the original legislation that came forward regarding the earlier intervention also included math and behavior. And I think that math, with our math standards being reviewed, is what can we be doing with earlier intervention in the math area. And that was something that there was some discussion on, and that was included in the original legislation. So we may be looking at that, as well as programs that are working with children from birth to five with early literacy and parent education. So I see an opportunity here at this table as we look at, you know, early childhood, the achievement gap, we look at standards, that it'll be an opportunity for us to really work across the board on some of these things that really bridge as well. So I'm looking forward to this group and reaching out and finding further success in an area that I think we did achieve some very exciting things this past session.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I too am looking forward to working with Senator Saltzman. I've enjoyed our association this past session, and we share commitment to this this particular area. I think, you know, I was somewhat like a cracked record on the subject of, and particularly trying to find ways that that we might make it so much a part of the fundamentals of what's being done in our early grades in school that it'll come natural. And I think that there are ways that we can use existing resources if we get the energy channeled in the right way. So hopefully we will be able to provide some focus there. Some of the parent groups that I had worked with, interestingly enough, a couple of the very active parents of students with in the group with on the dyslexia were added to the task force on teacher standards. So they are working with our Board of Teaching as they're making revisions to see how teachers are prepared. And so some of the very things that we've been talking about, if they're a part of those initial standards, that's one thing that's already in the works. And so I think there's many things that we can look at, both in the preparation of teachers, how we use our professional development that can focus on what we know is at the core of the success in the future. So.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And we are pleased to have an Achievement Gap Subcommittee that will be co-chaired by Senator Torres Ray and Senator Erickson Ropes. We appreciate your leadership in developing ideas for this. And any initial comments at this point, Senator Torres Ray?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm just very excited to be appointed to that committee. It's really an issue that interests me. And my hope is that I'm going to be able to work with the department on this, because I know that the commissioner is very interested in working with us on this. And also trying to figure out how do we connect directly with the districts is something that I really would like to do and kind of prioritize some issues. I'm pretty sure that I would be working with all of you as we work in the achievement gap, particularly with those of you who are going to be working on early literacy and issues related to early childhood education, because I think, particularly in my district, those are some areas that the district is going to target in terms of investing resources and looking at how to deal with the achievement gap in the long term. And so I'm pretty sure that I will be working with all of you in this. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. We also have a subcommittee on technology and learning that will be co-chaired by Senator Carlson and Senator Jungbauer. Senator Carlson's in Germany right now, and he's excited, as is Senator Jungbauer, to address this important subject. What are the needs in technology? What impediments exist right now? We're also going to look at online learning and impact and effectiveness of that growing area. We're putting together a work plan on that now, and for each of these areas, working with the co-chairs is what you would be instructed to do, and others. And I know that with this ambitious group, you're not going to have to wait until January. They're already putting together a lot of ideas, and I would expect something in the next few weeks or so in terms of announcements as to direction, and this will all be posted electronically for subcommittee plans. So that's the plan for the committee for having subcommittees. They'll develop recommendations and areas, whether there's a specific piece of legislation in 08 on each item, that remains to be determined. But they'll develop that. In many cases, they'll be working with colleagues in the House of Representatives, working in a bipartisan manner is the intent, and also to get stakeholder input, which makes it a better product. And a part of that has been, which we did during the early part of the session, was to have visits into the school districts. And we plan on having more information on that to be announced. We've been to most of your school districts. Whether we do a revisit this year, probably not at this point, but we're looking at some other districts around the state, and if there's suggestions on that, and we do have some feelers out, let us know. We will also have a meeting regarding the permanent school fund, and that's actually co-chaired by Representative Mariani and myself, and we'll have a two-day function on that where we're going to Northern Minnesota. The DNR is setting that up, and there'll be more information on that, but I believe we have something in the packet right now on the date in August. Is it the 23rd? 23rd and 24th. So for an interest on that topic, just let us know that we're just getting details on that now. Senator Olson and Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chairman, so you have picked the dates, 23rd and 24th?
Yes. Will that work, I hope?
Well, I don't know, but
okay.
I hope so.
Yeah,
looks like a great itinerary, and I think very important for us to understand what's going on there.
Yes, and Gretchen, I believe it's the 23rd and 24th, so that it
is that of August.
August is of August. Senator Lynch.
Same question.
Okay. Senator Henn.
Just a question a little bit going back to the subcommittee process a little bit. Are there the members of the committee going to be serving on subcommittees as well, and what is the process to determine, you have an interest in a particular topic, do we just let you know and you'll kind of make up the roster of who's on the subcommittee, or how do you want to do that?
Good question. I was going to cover that next. We do have a handout where you can express your interest, but what I'm going to ask staff to do is to contact your office and email and give you a chance to further reflect on what we've just talked about and developed. We envision that you might serve on up to three. You don't have to serve on more than one, for that matter, but up to three. And any member may attend a subcommittee meeting, but looking at five or so members for each group. keeping in mind that we anticipate a lot of these to be joint meetings with the House of Representatives, to the extent that can be developed. So you'll be getting information from Gretchen and Kara for sign-up in the near future. Thanks. Further questions? Well, that completes what we wanted to review. I thank staff, all of our staff, for a great job, and there will always be challenges for this Senate now, for the Senate in 20 years from now in addressing education, and that'll be something that we'll do our best on to best meet the changing needs of society. But we've put together a work program here that we feel will put us in a position to be as well prepared as we can in testimony and proposals that we'll have before the next session. If anyone in the audience has a question, we would ask that you submit it. You can submit it, or we can talk afterwards, or talk to the respective committee chairs about their plans, and we appreciate your input as well in the process, because we all share that same desire to provide the best education we can for the students in Minnesota. So there being no further business, this committee is adjourned.